Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, I thank God for the lines are lighting up. We have a whole lot of new listeners that's tuning in on tonight. I thank God for this worldwide ministry and platform. This is of the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So we just give God the glory, honor, and praise for it, that he be glorified through it all. That's what it's all about, God getting the glory. We always open up with prayer, but before we open up with prayer, I want to let the listeners know on tonight, my special guest is none other than Takesha L. Stevenson. We're doing part two of her, we're talking about her book titled Conviction to Correction, Behind the Walls. If you tuned in on last Saturday, we started discussing her book, and it's so much and it's so deep, so we had to do part two. So we're going to try to conclude with part two on tonight. Once again, my special guest is none other than Takesha L. Stevenson, the author of the book titled Conviction to Correction, Behind the Walls. And she's coming to us from Marion, Alabama. I just talked to my cousin, Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina. He always brings forth God's word on this radio platform every third and fourth Saturday night. So he's going to be dialing in very shortly, too, to listen to part two. He was so excited about hearing what she said through her book on last Saturday. He's going to dial in on tonight as well. So we always open up with prayer, and I'm asking all the listeners if you will please pray with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because we know without a doubt that you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. You are the Most High God. You sit high and you look low. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth. It's in your hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not like man. You don't get amnesia. You cannot lie, fail, nor change. We just love you. We thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions and blot out all of our iniquities, starting with myself, my entire family, my special guest of tonight, Takesha L. Stevenson and her family, and all those that are saved in Jesus' name all over the world. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. The word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we're so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, that we can be redeemed and we can be forgiven of our sins through Jesus Christ. We just love you, Heavenly Father. We bless your name. We come now, Heavenly Father, and listen to all those that are bereaved on tonight. Continue to comfort and strengthen them, even in their hour of bereavement. Let them feel your peace, your love, your presence, your company spirit, your joy, even in their hour of bereavement. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. We come to listen up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver, Heavenly Father, as only you can, because we know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders for your glory in the earth. So now, Lord, we continue to lift up our sisters and brothers in Jerusalem and Israel. Your word lets us know that we are to pray for our sisters and brothers in Israel and Jerusalem. So we lift them up to you now in the name of Jesus, that your will be done. So now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight and that you may increase in us. And should there be any listener on the line tonight, Heavenly Father, that's not saved, we pray that something will be said through your word, through your this woman of God, this author, through her book as she gives the different scriptures, that you will move by your spirit, that will touch their hearts, that they will be able to open their own mouth to confess their sins, and that Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight, through this offer, that you will get the glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless every listener. Grant them the desires of their hearts. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought, and it comes to us saying, every day of life is a day of thanksgiving. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Every day of life is a day of thanksgiving. Before I go to my music break and before I bring my special guest on, Takesha L. Stevenson, before I bring her on, I have an announcement that I'd like to make. I did not get a chance to make it last Saturday because the enemy tried to block us from coming on the air on time, but we still was able to get through. But I am so excited for what God is doing through my younger sister. Her name is Danetta Barney. God has blessed her to write another children's book. Her latest children's book is titled Littlest Guard at the Gate. Then she also has another children's book titled The Best of Joy. And both of her books are available now at Amazon.com. But she has a website that she's developing right now, and it will be up very soon. And as soon as it's up and running, I will definitely pass the website on to the listeners. Because in this through her website, you will be able to order her book, The Little Guard at the Gate. Also, it comes with a coloring book. It comes with a wood crossword, puzzle that the children can put together, a wood puzzle, not paper puzzle, but a wood puzzle. It has the Little Guard at the Gate t-shirt, a variety of t-shirts, the Little Guard at the Gate pillow that the young children like to carry on their little trips in the car. They like to hold on to the little pillow with the Little Guard at the Gate. And she has gotten word that so many of the children that have already purchased the t-shirt, their parents or grandparents have purchased a t-shirt for them. Once they put this t-shirt on, they don't want to take the t-shirt off. They want to go to bed in it. They love their Little Guard at the Gate t-shirts. So if you want to order the Little Guard at the t-shirt right now, you can go through her website and order the Little Guard at the Gate t-shirts. And her email is Danetta, D as in Dan, D-A-N-E-T-T-A underscore Barney, B-A-R-N-E-Y, 43 at yahoo.com. Once again, if you'd like to order the Looters Garden, to get a variety of t-shirts, go to her email. Again, that's Danetta, D-A-N-E-T-T-A, underscore Barney, B-A-R-N-E-Y, 43, at yahoo.com. Again, but her book, The Looters Guard at the Gate and The Best of Joy, those two books are now available at Amazon.com. And these are great books, and the t-shirts and the little pillows and other items that she has in her little kit for the children. These are for like preschool children, children that are in kindergarten, or even some of her grandchildren, like four and five or six years old, are wearing the t-shirts, and they are so excited about the Looters Guard at the Gate. So that's why I'm so grateful that God has blessed her, that she can be a blessing to the children. So I'm getting the word out. So if you got to purchase her t-shirts, again, go to her email, Danetta underscore Barney, 43 at yahoo.com. Right now, we're going to go to our music break, and I'm going to come back. Sister Stevenson shared a testimony on last Saturday, so I'm not going to ask her to share another testimony on tonight. After we get through, go through our music break, we're going to come back, and we're going to get right into part two of her book. So enjoy the music break.
From North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me.
Right.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I love that song, Pray For Me. But you know what he said in that song? He said it's an urgent request. And as we know for without a doubt, as we see what's going on in the world today, and the Word of God told us these things was going to happen. So don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. The Word of God told us these things was going to happen. So he said it's an urgent request that we pray. Pray for me. So that's why I love what the Lord says. It's the fervent prayers of the righteous still avail as much. So right now I'm so excited to have once again on my show tonight the author of the book titled Conviction to Correction, Behind the Walls, none other than the author, Takesha L. Stevenson, is on the line. I see that Pastor Norman King from Victor's Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina, my first cousin, has dialed in. I'm so excited to have him on the line again. And before we bring the author on, for you that have a notepad or pencil or paper, please write down this so that you can tune in every third and every fourth Saturday night, to hear a word from the Lord from Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina. He always delivers a powerful word from the Lord. Well, we're going to go right into part two of tonight's message through the book, through Takesha L. Stevenson. Sister Stevenson, we're going to go right back to page number 39 where we left off at, if you don't mind. We're going to go back to page 39. I see what you had written in scripture, and I hope the listeners have your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can follow along with the scriptures. You said, and I see you have written in here, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Then you turned around and you said right after that, you said, keep thinking you are immune to problems. That go for anyone that's listening on the line. If you or I keep thinking that we are immune, I'm paraphrasing, to problems and have life all figured out, the one who has it all together can fall. Just look at Job. Could you elaborate on that, Sister Stevenson?
Yes. Because all my life I was told that bad people have bad things that happen to them. So I always thought that only bad people have things happen to them. But when you go and read the book of Job, it lets you know that anybody can have bad things happen to them. You don't have to be a terrible person. So that's why I wrote that scripture to pertain to that passage to pertain to that scripture.
And that's right, because you know what, Job.
No
one is exempt. No one is exempt because, you know, Job is he's an upright man. He lived right before the Lord. But all these different tragedies came upon Job, one behind another. He lost all of his cattle. Mm-hmm. He lost his whole family, his children. He lost all of his children. They were killed. He lost everything that he had. But he was walking with the Lord. And so just like you said, no one is exempt. So no matter who you think you are, that goes to me, that goes to you, the listener, no one is exempt from troubles. And because the Word of God says, in this life, we're going to have trials and we're going to have tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember to trust in the Lord. That's why I love why you put that scripture there. Trust, even though you're going through hard trials and tribulations, you and I, every listener, we still have to put our faith and our trust in the Lord. And we have to, and with all of our hearts, and we have to lean not to our own understanding, but always lean and trust in God. So we're going to flip right over to page number 40, where we're talking about the blame game. Could you, go down to paragraph 2 if you could. And if you could, because I want you to read all the way down to the end. I want you to read that yourself to the listeners. Starting at paragraph 2, where it says, I had a good life. And then go down to the end of that.
Okay. I had a good life and was too smart to be in prison. I was a high school graduate, had some years of college, worked with North America on-site, and got hired on with Mercedes-Benz, totaling 5 years. I was a single mother of two beautiful kids. I had worked too hard to get ahead in life, and it had all ripped away from me by my daughter's father, Wesley Tubbs, a man whom I wasn't even with anymore. He was married to someone else, but all because he was too coward to stand up for me, which was right, I lost it all in the blink of an eye. Yes, I blame Wesley for introducing me to this lavish lifestyle. I blame my mother for not protecting me as a rebellious teenager, my father for being addicted to drugs and alcohol and not being there to protect me while I was growing up, my public defender for poor counseling and not telling me it was his first time going to trial. God in heaven knows I never would have used him. My witnesses who falsely testified against me to save their own butt, and the judicial system for being unfair, biased, and prejudiced. Most of all, I blame God because he said in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So all I wanted to know was, why, God, why did you allow this to happen to me when you had the power to stop it?
Okay. Now, I'm sure that a lot of listeners can relate to this. Sometimes when certain things happen, and not just you, Sister Stevenson, but I'm sure that a lot of Christians that have been walking with the Lord, sometimes certain things happen in their lives, and then they want to look at God and ask God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Sometimes it's not God that does these things. Sometimes, and I'm not pointing fingers, but sometimes when we're not walking close to the Lord and we have gone astray, sometimes the Lord allows certain things to happen in our lives to put us in certain situations and certain predicaments that will draw us back to him. So that's what I want to say to you and to the listeners on tonight. Because of that question that you were asking God, because he said that he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Yeah, not only you, but he knew all of us before we were formed in our mother's womb. But sometimes, for those that are saved in Jesus' name, sometimes some can be seasoned saints and have been walking with the Lord a long time, or some of those that are new babes in Christ that have been walking with the Lord for a few days or a few years or a few months. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the world and caught up in what's going on in the world that we forget about God. And so, again, that's why I believe that sometimes He don't allow these things to happen. He don't bring these things upon us to make things happen to us. But sometimes he will permit his permissive will. He will permit things to happen to us to get in certain situations where we will have to look to him and know that all of our help comes from him. And he is the one that we can totally depend on, and not man, no matter who it is. Sometimes we can't even depend on our families. We have to depend and trust. And it goes back to that scripture that you said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine understanding. So in all thy ways, acknowledge God. So that's what he's saying. He's letting you know, Christopher Stevenson, and I'm so glad that you put that in your book. So this is going to be a blessing to every listener, and hopefully that if there's anyone that's listening that's not saved, that it will be a blessing to you as well. To let you know that if you're on the wrong track, sometimes God will allow certain things to happen to get you to a point that you have to call upon the name of the Lord and ask for his help, because he's the only one that can really help us and see us through. So you call on page number 41, you went on and say, so all I wanted to know was, why, God, why did you allow this to happen to me when you had the power to stop it? Then you turn around and you put the scripture with it. It says, I determined to intact time of your birth and where you would live. And that's found in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse number 26. Can you expound on that, please?
Yeah, because if he knew where I would live before I was born in my mom's womb, like, why did you allow prison to be in my destination? Like, why couldn't you have allowed, why couldn't you force me to take other roads, other paths to keep me from going to prison? Like, why did prison have to be a place of, you know, where I would live?
Well, I'm going to put it to you this way. I'm not trying to beat up on you, because I'm not, that's not my job or place. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we do things, we bring things upon ourselves sometimes. And then when we bring things upon ourselves and then we get in trouble, then we want to look to God and we want to blame God for causing us to be in the trouble that we're in. But no, we have to look at ourselves, because God gives all of us a choice. We have a choice to do right or choice to do wrong. So he gives us a choice. That's why it's called free will. But then again, his permissive will, he will allow some things to happen. And like in your case, you ended up in prison. But you know what? When you said on last time, on this Saturday, you were supposed to have gotten 20 years. But the Lord was still gracious and merciful to you that you only did, like, I think what you said, 2.5 years?
Yes, yes.
But you were actually supposed to do 20. So he was still being gracious unto you.
Well, that's what I was looking at in the beginning, 20, until they end up trying to get me to plead out to 10. I still didn't take the 10, so he tried to get me to plead out to 7. And I was like, there's no amount of time I'm going to volunteer to sign up for prison. Like, you're going to have to convict me because I'm not telling on myself,
right.
And I'm not going to volunteer to go to prison. So that's when
I got convicted
by a judge. And at the end, when I lost and I was found guilty, when I went to my sentencing, I was facing 10 to 20 years. But the judge did not believe any of my witnesses because she herself had sat through the same trial and wrote down notes. So by her not believing any of my witnesses, she had already counted them off. So she already knew when we got to my sentencing what time she was going to give me. So I look at it like the 41 months that she gave me, I look at it like God knew that's what it was going to take for me to get myself right. He knew it wasn't going to take
there
the whole 20 years. He knew it wasn't going to take the whole 10 to 20 years for me to get right. I had basically gotten right, I thought, after my first 6 months to a year. But to be honest with you, if he had let me out 6 months to a year, I was going to go back out and I was going to revenge against that prosecutor because I was real angry at her. Most of all. So that's why he allowed me to stay another year and a half because he knew he needed to continue to work on me. So that's why he allowed me them 41 months.
Amen. You answered the question right there. You answered the question. So then you said, then I told on page 42, you turned around at the very beginning of it. You said the serpent, Satan, in other words, Satan. For those that do not know who the serpent is, the great deceiver, the father of lies, the enemy, the devil, you said the serpent deceived me and I ate. How can you describe that? What do you mean by that?
Well,
that's
in
Genesis
chapter.
I'm going to give the scripture to that for the listeners. That's Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Okay, good, now go ahead.
So, after going to church and Bible studies and stuff, I understood why I blamed everybody around me. So it was normal. It's normal for us to blame. You know, when kids growing up and they finna get a whooping and they want to blame their sister or brother, like it's normal because, you know, when God came to Adam and Eve, you know, he asked them, and Adam blamed God himself for giving him the woman. Adam also blamed the woman for giving him the apple. The woman, she blamed the serpent. So it's natural for us to blame each other. I point fingers. I'm still kind of guilty of that a little bit to this day, and I'm still battling with it. But I was a big, you know, finger pointer back then. So I was just bringing out why it's normal for us to blame others. You know, because everybody in prison blames somebody, whether they blame their boyfriend, whether they blame the people, you know, the drug users themselves, we blame somebody. So that's why I wrote that passage to fit that scripture, because it's normal, you know, to blame others because they did it back in their time. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. I like these scriptures that you gave, and I'm going to, I'm looking at page number 43. If you have not purchased this book, you need to, for the listeners, if you have not purchased this book, you need to purchase this book. It's really, really deep. Again, 50 cents, it's available at Amazon.com, Sister Stevenson, am I correct?
Yes. You can go on Amazon.com,
okay.
BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay. On page 43, at the very top, you gave some scriptures, and I hope that our listeners can write these scriptures down. And you started off saying the Holy Spirit gives us the power not to give in to temptation and sin. And it's found in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Once again, The Holy Spirit gives us the power to not give in to temptation and sin. Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Then you turn around and you say, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. That's found in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 38. Then you add it, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. See, I like that. I'm glad you put that in there. He said, be not conformed to this world, because you know what? We are in the world, but we who are saved, we are not of this world. So that's why the word of God says, be not conformed. That's what, and that's what I'm paraphrasing what you, from what you put there in the book. But you said, do not conform to the patterns of this world, and it really means the same thing. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And then finally, you said, please let this message dwell among you richly, which is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Again, please let this message dwell in you richly. In other words, let the word of God dwell richly among you or in you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. So then we go over to the next chapter. You're talking about the desire to change. I like that. I like that chapter title, the desire to change. Because why I like that? Because God, he is searching our hearts. See, we can tell man or we can tell people one thing, but God is looking at our hearts. And so if you don't mind, Sister Stevenson, if you could expound on this message, on this scripture here that you have, the first scripture that you have, and it says, seek the Lord God with all your mind, heart, and soul. And that's been found in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 29. Can you expound on that, please?
Yeah, because I desired to change. I wanted to change because I knew that it was time for me to change unless I was going to keep going through things. But as I was in prison and not even in the world, in the free world anymore, the ladies in there, you know, they didn't allow me to change. They kept coming at me with different things, different issues. So I wanted to change and I knew I needed to change, but it was certain things that I still was doing trying to get through my day-to-day and in prison. And also I was planning my return home. I'm going to do this when I get out. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to do this. So as I look back, I realized that things that I was planning still could possibly lead me back to prison and possibly with an even longer sentence the next time. So I had to sit down and get myself together to realize that at the same time that I desired to change, that I couldn't change at the moment. Like, it was just stuff coming at me. So I had to start praying to God and ask him to step in because I couldn't do it on my own.
That's right. And you know what? And I'm glad you said what you just said, because that was the enemy still working on you, because you said you was planning different things that you was going to do. And so the enemy was already trying to set you up even before you got out of prison, so you could end up back in prison.
Mm-hmm. He was.
That's exactly what, from what you just said and from what I just read, that's exactly what was going on. So you had no, you did have a choice. You could have listened to the enemy, or you could have listened to the word of God. You chose to listen to God.
And then,
as we go on to say that as I was gaining more biblical knowledge, thank God for that. While you was in prison, you was gaining more biblical knowledge. You was drawing closer to God. You began to look at life with a different perspective. Then you turn around and added the scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and you wrote, it says, it is that I was yearning to live a more meaningful life. Explain that, please.
I basically already told you, you know, I wanted to live a better life and a righteous life, but, you know, living day to day, when stuff coming at you, you can't guarantee that's going to happen. So basically, that's when you have to separate yourself from those people or things that's still allowing you to do wrong, once you separate yourself from the people or the things that's allowing you to do wrong, then you, you know, it's a chance you probably could go the correct path.
Exactly. And that's so important that you said that. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves because the enemy, he can use people in our families. He can use people that think are our friends. And he can use them.
He knows that
Exactly. And we think we've been knowing them all of our lives, and they're not best friends. But sometimes they're not your friend. They are two-faced or disguising, and they're pretending to be your friend because they know they have other motives. But as we continue to look, if you would go to page number 45, right in the middle of page 45, I'm going to read what you said here. It says, when you are, and this is for the listener as well, and even for myself, this goes for everyone that's listening on the line tonight. It says, you go in here and says, when you are facing a problem, big or small, go to God. I'm going to read that again because that is so true. When you are, I'm not saying we, I'm going to put we there, even if you say you, I'm not saying we. When we are facing a problem, big or small, go to God. And you know why I'm going to say that? Because God said in his word, cast all his cares upon me, because he cares for us. Then he went on to say, he will give you the desires of your heart. But I'm going to add there, he will give you the desires of your heart. He said, but if you are pleasing to him, if you're walking upright, if you're trying to live right, that's when he will give you the desires of your heart. He's not just going to give you the desires of your heart if you're not walking according to his will. He's not going to give you the desires of your heart if he knows, right, if he knows that what he's going to give you is going to take you away from him, he's not going to give you that desire. But he's going to give you the desires of your heart that's going to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and that's going to give him glory. So, as you said, he will give you the desires of your heart. Then you turn around and said, I repeatedly read self-help and Christian books on how to love and help one another. But some people, Lord Jesus, help me. This is you speaking through your book. It said, the more I guarded my heart against evil thoughts and hatred towards certain inmates, the more evil I was becoming. Wow, that's deep right there. Somebody needs to hear that again. Because some people are dealing with that right now, and they're not even in prison. Sometimes we are in prison of our own minds. Sometimes we can be the prison of our own minds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read that again because it's so powerful. You said, the more I guarded my heart against evil thoughts and hatred toward certain inmates, the more evil I was becoming. I had to let go and let God because I couldn't do it on my own without him. I would be walking the walk and talking the talk one day, and the very next day I would be struggling when I got around certain inmates that brought this side up out of me. Evil spirits are real. Yes, they are. And then you said, I was living a double-minded life. Then in other words, you said you were being a hypocrite. And then you said, daily, I was physically, emotionally, and mentally drained. I hardly ever had any peace because while trying to do right, drama was all around me. And then I love how you added the scripture in the book of Timothy, chapter 5, verse number 6. For those of you that have your Bibles making notes, Timothy, chapter 5, verse 6, and you said there, I needed God to rebuild me once again, and I needed to be cleansed. Could you elaborate on that?
Because when I was in there, you know, I had different inmates coming in. And we had senators and attorneys, and we had nurses and doctors coming in, and they felt like because they had been in there for bribery or tax fraud or money laundering, you know, which I was in there for money laundering, they felt like we was more righteous because we was in there for a white-collar crime, and the other people was in there for drugs. So I had felt like it was my need because I still struggle with that issue today, too. Like, I got to put you in place. I'm finna check you now because a criminal is a criminal in my eyes. And just because this person in here for drugs or murder or whatever they in here for, and you in here for a white-collar crime, I mean, you still guilty. So I felt like it was my place to remind them, even though at certain times it wasn't, you know, especially if I wasn't a part of it. But, you know, some people seem to feel like they just want to, you know, cause drama. And By me talking to certain people, I just kept dipping in and out because I was, in their clique or a part of them. So I just felt like that I had to just bring them back to reality, you know. So that's what I
I want to try to help you right there because that's a trick of the enemy. If you're still struggling with that right now, even though you're out of prison, if you're still struggling with that, that's a trick of the enemy. So you got to be real careful with that. You can't always, you may want to speak your mind, but sometimes the Lord tells us sometimes we have to hold our peace because if we're not careful, we say the wrong thing. And sometimes some things that we say, we cannot take back. And so we have to be very careful about that because the enemy, he knows all of our weak points. He knows what we're weak and he knows what we're strong. So he's going to always drill on the part of us that's weak. And so but he's trying
to. I'm very weak in that area. He knows I'm
and
very
that's
weak
why
in that area because I hate
I hate
assumptions. I hate opinions. I hate, especially when we have facts all around us, and especially when we have facts right there that you choose to overlook. But I know it's not my place. I mean, today I know it's not my place to correct everyone because you can't correct everyone. But if you're going to be my space, in my circle, or a part of me, I'm going to have to correct you or either I'm going to have to distance myself from you because I can't sit there and listen to you intentionally misinterpret something to this person who is weak or this person who is uneducated or has no knowledge. And as soon as you say this and the way you paraphrase it or say it, they're going to automatically believe it. So I feel like it's my place to step in and say, hey, you know. So that's what I meant about that. But
sometimes that's good, but then sometimes you answered your own question. Sometimes it's best to just step away. Seriously, sometimes, because I've had to do that many times. In other words, sometimes you have to bite your tongue. Sometimes you have to bite your tongue and just walk away. Even though that people might say, oh, I got her told, or I got him told, or I knew I was right all along.
Yeah.
But sometimes, forget about that, and just ask the Lord to give you the strength to walk away. And he will do that. That's nothing but the enemy trying to get you riled up so you can do or say the wrong thing so you can end right back up in prison again. That's what he's trying to do.
Well, see,
so
prison is different from the free world. Prison different from
exactly.
The free world because in there, you in there with a certain amount of number of people. I hear you out here with everybody, so I'm not going to just go into somebody's conversation out here in the free world. So with that, I was using the inmates that I was locked up in prison who I'm literally right there with. But out here, I'm not going to just jump in these people's conversations. So that's what
I know
was saying with inmates. That's
okay,
why I jump,
okay.
I'll be struggling with them some days.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Then I'm going right off to page number 49 since we just said that. I'm going to look at page number 48 first. Almost at the bottom, the second paragraph on the bottom, you said, I had learned to turn my fears into prayers because my worries were better in God's hands. God is always walking before, beside, and behind me. And sometimes when the burden is too heavy, he will pick us up and carry us. And I'm a witness to that. That's the truth. The Israelites went into hiding, and even after praying for deliverance, they still lived in fear. What do you mean by that?
Because if you know that scripture, even when God has stepped in, they still lived in fear. So what I meant by, if you read this whole passage, even before you get down to this, I'm not going to say, I was a thug or something on that level, but, I wasn't a righteous person. So as I had seen myself day to day, I was like, oh, my God, what are you doing to me? I seen myself becoming more righteous and righteous every day, and I seen myself yearning for the word of God, and I felt myself leaning more toward him. So I got scared. I was scared, and I was like, oh, my God, I want my own ways. I don't want to get rid of some of my old ways. But I knew that I couldn't keep those old ways and be on his team. I knew that some of those old ways was, good for me, because of who I was. But so as I was becoming, leaning more toward his side and becoming, you know, more God-fearing and stuff, I was scared because I was like, okay, well, I don't think nobody going to accept me as this person right here. But I don't, you know, so I was kind of like scared to become this person who I am today because of judgmental people. And I have that issue going on out here sometimes too. So that's another reason that we go back to the passages before. That's another reason I argue too, because I use profanity today or because I did this right here. Don't tell me who I am. You know, so I'm going to argue with you on that too, or either I'm going to have to show you. But I know it's not all the way righteous, but I'm saying like I'm still struggling. You know, I'm struggling with that issue. Because I hate for someone to try to tell me who I am, you know, especially if I didn't ask you, or you being judgmental or opinionated or something.
So in other words, you're not the only one. I'm sure everybody that's listening on this line, because again, this is a worldwide ministry. This show is going around the world, and people all in different countries are listening to this broadcast right now. So everybody. It's not for us to judge. I'm not. The only way we should judge anyone is to righteously judge according to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't judge you because we're all struggling with something. Your something, whatever.
And let me say this right here.
Maybe, yes.
See, certain parts of this book is referring to prison now, as far as the free world. See, I was in prison when I wrote this book. I wasn't out here. This book just got published since I've been out of prison. But see, you got all these so-called Christians who've been Christians longer than you. So now they want to come around and judge you because now you coming to God or you trying to walk righteous. So this, you know, it's referring to when I was in prison because when people see you trying to do right or whatever, then bam, you done messed up and used profanity or you done did this and that. Now they want to come against you. So it kind of stopped a lot of people from coming on God's team because you got all these judgmental people, you know, even if they're not Christians, whoever they are, you got them watching what you're doing. And so now they're like,
oh yeah.
You think she, you know. So that's why I was afraid to let certain people know who I was becoming because I knew once they came at me, I knew my old self was going to come out of me. So that's what I meant about my fear, you know. That's what I meant in this chapter right here. So, like I said, this chapter is referring to prison. But go ahead.
I'm going to ask you this. That when you pray, when you in your prayers from now on, when you pray, ask the Lord to give you the mind of Christ. And that's all you got to do is, and mean it from your heart, ask the Lord to give you the mind of Christ. And when you really pray that from your heart and really mean it, because He's, again, God is looking at all of our hearts. He knows what we mean, and He knows what we're trying to say. So when you pray and ask the Lord to give you and help you to put on the mind of Christ, a lot of these issues that you're talking about right now, you're gonna see them vanish away. They might not vanish away overnight, but eventually, little by little, the worldly side of you, right, and some more are going to drop off because He wants you to be more and more like Him. So, yeah, you're going to have people judging you. I have people judging me all the time, and they're looking for me to make a mistake so they can throw in my face.
Yeah.
I thought you were saved. And so you can't let that stop you from doing what God has called you to do because people are going to talk. They're going to criticize you because Jesus is our prime example. Look what they did to Jesus, and look who he is. He's the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He came down, and He paid our sin debt with His own blood. So if they criticize Jesus, and they lied on Jesus. They spit on Jesus. He said that don't think that we're so holy and righteous that they're not going to lie on you and they're not going to talk about you. So in other words, who do you think you are that nobody can't lie on you or talk about you? So what they did to Jesus, He said that they're going to do the same thing to you. So as we move forward, I see my time is running away from us. I have a few more things I want to get through in this book while I have you on the line. Right on page 49. Your first paragraph, you said, God will fight our battles if we just be still long enough so we can grasp them. I like that. And I'm a witness that God will fight our battles. And I used to say, and the older people, old Christians say, He'll fight your battle if you just keep still. And if you step out of the way and take your hands off the situation and sometimes keep your mouth closed, If you do that, then the Lord, he can fight your battle, but he's not going to fight your battle for you as long as you think you can step in the ring and you can fight the battle yourself. You're not going to win. So that's why I love what you put there. He said, God will fight our battles if, and that's a small letter, that's a two-letter word, but it's powerful, if we just be still long enough so we can grasp them. The Lord is always with us. And that's why I said, he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Then you turn around and you said, it is impossible to keep from getting hurt, which is true, but we can learn how to make it through stronger. Our heart remembers our pain, and that's a fact. But calling on Jesus will heal us and give us peace. When we are not at peace, be careful about seeking, believing, and doing, because the devil to believe in God. And then you turn around and you gave the scripture in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, God said to guard your heart above everything. Again, that's found in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. Then you went on down further in the last paragraph, it says, humans have grown weak and have given in to those who are closest to us, will hurt us the most. And I'm a witness. I can verify that myself. And I'm sure that some of the listeners on the line can verify it too as well.
Yeah,
says, one of my first cousins who grew up with me, my mother's brother's child, was one of the false witnesses who wrote statements on me. But when he took the stand, he pleaded the fifth and recanted all his statements on me and sentencing because they were lies. Little did he know the damage was already done, because I had already went to trial and was found guilty. So now I lower my expectations of earth, and I realize it's not heaven. So I stopped expecting it to be perfect now. But then you turn around and you said in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verse number 14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So could you explain that, please, to the listeners?
Because I had went through so much, and I was it was hard for me to trust people. Because like I said, one of those false witnesses was one of my favorite cousins, one of my first cousins. It don't matter what I had did. He thought he was doing something because he took the stand and pleaded the fifth. But you didn't come out until my sentencing and try to recant your statement. So the damage was already done, so we have to still be careful of those type people because of the simple fact it's easy for you to plead the fifth. I'm already found guilty now. So at the same time that I'm going to forgive you because of God, you know, and I have to, so I can be forgiven. Like, my heart going to always remember the pain that you caused. So, you know, my trust is off for a little bit because, you know, that was somebody that was close to me. As far as in relation and blood. So that's why I have to guard my heart. It's not that I know you're going to do something to me. I'm just going to guard it to make sure that, you know, I'm going to try to make sure that I can protect it from against certain people because of what had happened to me.
Okay, but I'm gonna add to that, because of what that person is, even though it's a family member, I don't if that person is still alive or not. You, if you have not already done this, this is gonna be a blessing to you. Even though that person did not stand up for you, even as a relative, you need to forgive that person, not for that person's sake, but for your sake, so that you can be stronger and so that you can move on and be and do all that God has called for you to do. So if you have not already forgiven that person, that cousin, you need to do that in your prayers. You need to forgive them, and then that way God can make you stronger, and that way you can be the vessel that he has really truly ordained for you to be. Because I've had to do that myself, and I can talk from experience. I've had to forgive a lot of people, and sometimes people in the church, people in the body of Christ, my sisters and brothers in Christ, not only them, but sometimes even people in my family. I had to forgive them because of some of the things they said and some of the things they did to me, and some of them did it to my face, and some of the lies they told. But I had to forgive them so that I can be at peace and so that I can fulfill my God purpose. So whatever somebody do to you or have done to you or maybe do to you in the future, if you can, you need to forgive them. And if you have to go to them and say, I forgive you, it might be hard to do, but with the Lord's strength, the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So you need to forgive that person so that you can move forward and be all that God has called for you to be. So we, as given this wrap up, I have two more little things I want to tie in before we close off for tonight. You said in, on page number 50, talking about distractions, in the middle paragraph, you said the enemy wants to sidetrack, distract, and hinder you. I found oftentimes praying for discernment of good and evil and right and wrong. Criticism distracted me after letting go of certain relationships. I would lose my focus after getting angry, and then by trying to defend myself. I learned those people were never my friends, and sitting around worrying about them wasn't fixing any of the problems I had gone on in my life. Then you turn around on page 51, and in the middle paragraph, he says, God is a part in all that we do. He is just sitting back waiting on us to call on him. So you said you enrolled in college courses so that you could feel the void in your free time. Little did you know that this became a distraction because I had so much homework that I began to miss church, Bible study, and prayer service. I had put my focus on earthly things until I realized even the best schools would not be able to get me into eternity. Then you turn around, I like how you turn around with the scriptures. You said, and I touched on this earlier, in the book of John, chapter 15, verse number 18, says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. Talking about Jesus. So that goes right back down to what we talked about. Jesus was God's son. He did no wrong, no evil to no one. But look how he was treated. But then he said, forgive them. Even on the cross before he gave up his life, before he gave up the ghost, he cried out to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so sometimes we see people around us doing some things, and we kind of think, they know exactly what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and they know what they're saying. But then, on the other hand, we still have to ask the Lord to forgive them. So in their regard to you, I'm just saying to you, because I can hear some things in your voice, and I know that the Lord is still working on you, and I'm so grateful that He's still working on you. So you keep on praying to God, you keep on staying in the Word, you keep on seeking God's face, and a lot of this stuff that's on you right now that the enemy is trying to keep on you and keep in your mind that's not of God, because that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to get you off track. And he wanted to get you so caught up and off guard. He wanted to catch you off guard, and so that you could do something or say something, where you would end up in prison. So we are going to be touching in the brim with you in prayer that everything that the enemy is trying to do to you is all null and void, and that you are going to be the woman of God that God has ordained for you to be, even before you were formed in your mother's womb. So, Sister Stevenson, we still didn't get through the whole book. So this book is so powerful. And we still didn't get through the whole book. I just want the listeners to know that we still didn't get through the whole book. But I thank you again for coming on and doing part two of this, going through your book, Conviction to Correction, Behind the Walls. And so for the listeners that have not already purchased this book, you need to go to Amazon.com and purchase this book, or to Barnes & Noble and purchase this book so that you can read this book, so that it can be a blessing to you, and then you can be a blessing to someone else as you read this book through by this author, Takesha L. Stevenson from Marion, Alabama. So we're going to close out with that. Sister Stephen, I want to thank you for being our guest on last Saturday, and thank you for being on the show tonight, expounding on your book. So you continue to be blessed of the Lord, and I'm going to definitely keep you in my prayer. So we're getting ready to close out for tonight. Once again, is there anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to right now before we close out?
Everyone who has played a part in my change, everyone who played a part in my imprisonment, whether you spent funds in on my account, answered text messages, emails, wrote letters, cards, or whatever, I just thank everybody, you know, who was there for me during that time.
Amen. And I want to thank your aunt, Betsy King. I want to thank her because I've been on a phone conversation. I would have never known about you or this book had she not brought it up to my attention while we was on the phone talking. And so I just want to thank Sister Betsy King. I see she's still on the line. So I just want to say personally, thank you, Sister Betsy King, because had you not mentioned this, this would not have happened. So I know that God has been glorified.
Yes, I
want
to thank her as well.
Yes, thank you. So,
but I
want to
say something
there.
Else before we end this call. I want to say something else before we end this call. Okay, so like I reminded you, this book was written in prison when I was going through everything. So that first cousin who testified falsely against me, he has been forgiven. Mm-hmm. He is now out of prison. When he got out of prison, I bought certain things for him and took it to him. So like I said, he's forgiven.
Lord.
It's done. I was touching on that chapter because the damage had already been done, but it's over with. So that's what I just want to testify for that.
I'm glad you got that on the air while we was on the line, on the air. So good.
Yeah,
that's good news. I'm glad you said that. I really appreciate that. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it, but we thank you in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up my sister in Christ, Takisa L. Stevenson. Lord, continue to bless her. Continue to touch her life, her heart, her mind. Continue to lead and guide her in the way that you would have her to go. Because we know that the enemy is still trying to seek and devour who he can and who he can destroy. And he's come to sift us this week. But you, Jesus, have prayed for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you prayed for us and you kept us on your mind. You took the time and you prayed for us. And so we just thank you for all those that have prayed for Sister Stevenson, those that are going to continue to pray for her. Continue to lead and guide her Heavenly Father in the way that you would have her to go, that you will be glorified through her life, that her living will not be in vain. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless every listener. Continue to touch and heal and deliver and strengthen all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Continue to comfort and strengthen the bereaved. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in, and then all those that are new listeners, continue to bless them as well. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, know that I love
Amen.
You. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.